Let's pray. Lord God, open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts that we might together hear and receive your word, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. How do you respond to people on the street? I once saw a programme when a man dressed in a suit and tie, looking very smart, and asked people if he could borrow their mobile phone. He'd not got his with him, and he had an emergency and he had to make a call. And lots of people were showing him how to use their phones and letting him make the call on their phone. And then he dressed as a homeless man, scruffed himself up, looked really, really awful, as if he'd been sleeping on the street. And again, he went out and he asked the same question. He had an emergency, need to call someone. Could he borrow their mobile phone? And you can imagine the response, completely different. People just ignored him, blanked him, and didn't. And one person actually let him use their phone and showed him how to use it, which was really, really interesting. Our story today is about Jesus' response to a blind man who used to beg on the streets of Jerusalem and his transformation so that people didn't really know whether he was the same man. Jesus has been in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this is the big autumn festival in the city when it would have been full of people. It's a harvest festival, and people would have been coming into the city with harvest offerings, their first fruits from their crops. And they would have been offering some of these at the temple. They would have been praying for rain at the temple. And it was generally just a great holiday of feasting and fun. You made little booths outside your houses, and you would eat and enjoy the evenings in those. People camped around the edges of the city. One of the big themes of the festival is light, and the temple itself was lit by four huge torches that were in the courtyard, and they had huge sort of flames coming up at night, and you could see them from miles around. And if you could imagine in the days before, you know, night lighting and flood lighting and things, to have the temple floodlit would have been an amazing spectacle to see. The people celebrated this in this way, the pillar of fire that was a symbol of God's presence among them in the Exodus. Do you remember that? They followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And when God wanted them to rest, the pillar rested over the people, over the tabernacle, and they knew to stay put. And the pillar of fire was there. And this floodlighting symbolized that. Symbolize God's presence or his glory, his Shekinah among them. And it was the traditional time when they hoped that the Messiah would come and that perfect future age would come in. And it was a time when passages like Isaiah 11, when the wolf would lie with the lamb, when there would be healing, when, like Isaiah 61, when the blind would see, when wonderful things would happen, an age of peace on earth, of beauty, of healing. So quite a time of feasting today and looking forward to an even bigger feast in that future time. Now you may remember that Jesus' brothers asked him if he wanted to go up to this festival, and he didn't go up with them. The reason of that was, if he had gone up very publicly, he probably would have been forced into a Palm Sunday entrance, partly because this was the time they did wave palm branches, and they probably would have just taken him in as this kind of messianic hero, proclaimed him Messiah, and it was too early for that to happen. But he did go privately to Jerusalem. And instead of an entrance, he's actually seen present in the temple where he started to teach. He was there before they realized. It avoided that entrance problem, but he didn't exactly keep a low profile after that. On the last and greatest day of the festival, there was a big ceremony when you collected water from the pool of Siloam. All the priests sort of went down there, crowds following. You then carried it up ceremonially up to the temple, and it was poured out onto the altar with prayers for rain. And it was a massive sort of choral singing, sort of huge procession that happened. And it was on that last and greatest day of the feast that Jesus stood up and said, "If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink, and streams of living water will flow from him." And then later, he stood in the shadow of that floodlit temple. I like to think it was night, but it might have been day, but they knew it was floodlit, and said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but see the light of light." So these were very dramatic statements that he was making. And in that statement, right next to the temple, "I am the light of the world," he was claiming that he was somehow equal to the temple, somehow equal to that pillar of fire in the Exodus, equal to the glory of God, the presence of God. So Jesus was claiming that he was the Messiah, but in claiming also he was somehow God himself, the glory of God himself. So I said, when the Messiah comes, we have peace on earth, we have harmony in nature, and we have healing. So all of this has just been going on. All of this has been happening, and everyone's buzzing with it. You know, what's going on? What does he mean? Is he a charlatan? Is he real? Is he the Messiah? Or is he something terrible? And these are the discussions that were going on. And in the middle of all of this, Jesus meets this poor, blind man begging in the street, and he gives him his sight back. Not only was this an incredible act of compassion, but it was also a very dramatic demonstration of who Jesus was and what he had come to do. When the Messiah comes, there will be healing. When the Messiah comes, there will be light. And when the Messiah comes, it says in Isaiah 61, the blind will see. Now, there were people who were with Jesus, even his own disciples, who asked him whose sin had caused this man to be blind. In the culture of the day, blindness and other disabilities were seen as a result of wrongdoing, either by the person themselves or their parents. And Jesus knocks that one on the head fairly quickly. He says, "Neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." So he was just putting to bed that thought that if people are ill, are in trouble, it's somehow their fault. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but it happened so that the works of God might be displayed." Others were concerned that he healed on the Sabbath, and the next bit of the passage goes into that in some depth. And they questioned both the man and his parents. And Jesus reflects on all of this and says that he has come so that the blind might see, but some who see will become blind through their own prejudice. So those are some of the complications that are affected with this passage, that Jesus is challenging some of those assumptions that people are making. Last October, a young 19-year-old girl from County Tyrone called Kate Grant made her debut in the Belfast Fashion Week. And you might think, well, that's not unusual. You know, a young girl, 19, and you think of some tall, very willowy young woman who has been kind of, you know, maybe working towards that for some time. So it might not sound remarkable, a good step for a local Belfast girl on her way to longer catwalks. But the difference is that Kate has Down syndrome. And she was inspired by an Australian girl who has the same disability, and with her mother's help, in fact, both girls with their mother's help, finally found an agent to give her this big break. And you can see a clip on YouTube. If you Google Great Kate Grant and Down's and Model, you'll find it, or even just Irish Girl Down's and Model, you'll find it. And it was just wonderful. She just looked absolutely gorgeous and absolutely amazing, and she's achieved her ambition. And in doing so, she challenges our usual stereotypes of disability and also of beauty. She looks really, really beautiful. How do we respond to disability? How do we respond to homelessness? As Christ's followers, our response is to shine his light in our world today. Jesus met the blind man begging. He spoke to the man. He touched him. He healed him. Responding to begging isn't easy. Giving money is perhaps an easy response, but not often the best. Supporting charities that give direct help is a great response. But in the moment, recognizing the person is there, talking with them, offering food, can all be good responses. Homelessness is on the increase, and as Christians, we should be sensitive to that. How about disability? We do so partly with our buildings. I love the ramp here. It is a symbol of saying we support those with disabilities. The loo at the back is disabled friendly. The mobility vehicle in Haddenham has been a major success for working with disability. How we respond gives a bigger message when people know we are Christians. This morning I was in Dinton and our minister in training, Rosie Homer, was preaching on this same passage, and she brought out the fact that it was the blind man, after he'd been healed, who said, "I am the man." He'd been so transformed that they hadn't recognised him, a bit like the man dressing up in two ways at the beginning of my talk. He said, "I am the man," echoing those words of Jesus, that "I am" word, but also echoing the fact that he had been changed by Christ, transformed in Christ. He was in some way made new by that healing. Each of us have been transformed in Christ as we come to Christ. Each of us have that I am-ness which have impacted on our lives, that light of the world that has impacted on us, that has come into us, and that water, that living water that can flow out of us. So I suppose my challenge tonight is that maybe this Lent, let us, as we live that out, try and do one thing, one action that will make a difference, maybe for people with disabilities, and one thing that will make a difference to those who are homeless. Let the light of the world shine in the world. Let ourselves be transparent lanterns of that light. Let that light shine in the darkness, because the darkness cannot overcome it.